Proud of You is a parenting advice podcast and support group for dads hosted by two goofy dads. They are not pediatricians, nutritionists, OBGYNs, psychologists, nor are they authorities on parenting. They're just two dinguses trying to figure it all out. Their advice should not be taken as expert information. Parenting looks different for everyone, and there's no wrong way to be a dad. Frankly, if you're taking the time to listen to a podcast about it, you're already doing a great job. And these dads are proud of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome back. I am Derek Mata.
And I am Andrew Goody, and we are proud of you. This week, we are talking about something that doesn't get talked about a lot, and that is emotional representation from dads. Last week, we talked about speech and how kids just suck up everything that they see, right? They watch you say a curse word, and they start saying it. They watch you say thank you, and they start saying thank you. We are how our kids learn emotion, too. And in this society that we live in, Derek and I speaking as American men, we grew up, and we'll get into it a little bit more, but Derek and I both grew up in a very boys don't cry culture. And so it's taken me a long time to learn that it's okay that I have emotions and to show those emotions. Derek still doesn't know that. So
I was going to say, anytime I show any emotion that's not anger or happiness, I'm like, well, nope, let's reel it back here. And thankfully, my wife is the emotional one. So the kids definitely take after her and understand emotions from her. But it's hard to, because I'm, emotionless.
Yeah.
It's hard to also understand children as children and my standpoint. So the kids are crying, rub some dirt in it, get up and walk it off. It's a fight that constantly happens in our house, but because of me.
Yeah. Well, I think, let's get right into it. Right. I think that mentality, the rub some dirt in it mentality can be a good thing, right? Because you want to raise kids who are resilient, who don't just fall apart at the first stone that gets thrown at their house, but it's also okay to be upset. It's okay to cry, right? Just because that didn't knock your house down doesn't mean that it's not upsetting. Doesn't mean that you're not going to be, sad or mad or pissed that somebody's throwing rocks at your house. It's a weird balancing act, right?
And I think my thing is how much is too much? We'll say crying, for example, because my kids, they whine more than cry, but lumping the two in one, yeah. what is too much to me? You get one or two. I'm like, all right, now we're done. But as you know, I don't cry. I do, but so rarely that it's awkward for me.
Yeah. Well, and I think the big thing for me is that I don't want showing emotions to be awkward for my kid, right? I don't want to, and that's not to speak ill of how I was raised, a lot to speak ill of the culture that I was raised in, right? I hate the American men don't show emotions except for happiness and anger, stereotype. I want to do better. I want to set a better example for my kids. And I have one kid and she's a girl, so it's a little bit less critical because society is going to tell her that it's okay to have emotions.
Yeah.
But I still approach it with the same mentality that I would if she was a boy, or, eventually if we have another kid or if we have another child and it's a boy, right? It's two factors there, but then I want to be prepared for that and prepared to, cry in front of my kid and let them know that it's okay for them to cry.
Yeah. And I mean, we all, so Lucas and I make fun of April all the time because she'll cry, and she was crying in Paw Patrol, one of the Paw Patrol movies. And it's funny to us, but the kids will learn that crying is okay from her. But going back to the point of, she's a girl, the society expects her to be emotional. I don't know if it's because Ivy's two or if it's because the story of, her birth or whatever, but I'm like, Ivy, it's okay that you're crying all the time, but Noah, like, why am I like that? I mean, yes, obviously, like, it was my upbringing, but like, they're similar in age, they're experiencing the same thing at the same time, living the same kind of life. Why is it okay? Like, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's just a mentality that you have to overcome, right? Because it's perfectly okay for Noah to cry, right? It's
Yeah, like,
he's experiencing big, heavy, challenging emotions. He should cry. Like it is a natural release of endorphins and emotion that you need to cry. It's a mood regulator, right? Like as somebody who held his shit back through most of my life, when you're really worked up about something and like should for all intents and purposes cry about it and you don't, you feel awful, right? It's this
yeah.
weird, like your emotions feel stuck in you and like you just get more upset about the thing, right? Whereas that mood regulator, like it's a physical release, right? You're letting out those emotions. It's not just tears that are coming out when you're crying. It's all kinds of chemicals and hormones and everything that are worked up in your body that you need to let go of, or else they're just going to build up and build up and build up. And then you get the stereotype of, the American dad who never cries but punches holes in the drywall because that's where his
Damn
emotions end
Kyle.
up, right? Like,
No, and it's funny that, this is our topic because I don't know if you're caught up on Bluey. If you've seen every
of
episode.
course, the new episodes are top tier.
I'm a few episodes behind, but last night we put it on again. It has been months. And the episode that came on was Stick Bird. Great episode. At first, I'm like, what is going on? Because they don't really explain, like, what, or maybe I missed it, but like, what Bandit's going through when he's just sitting there in the sand.
For our listeners at home, who are not caught up on Bluey, first of all, shame on you. It's the best show in the world. Secondly, the overview premise here, Bandit, the dad in Bluey, is just mad the whole episode, right? And doesn't really talk about what it is. He's just grumpy
He's
and
zoned out. Like,
it, like
geez.
zoned out. He's not paying attention to the kids. He's upset. And his wife is telling him to let the thing go, right? They don't have ever actually really go into what it is,
Okay, so I didn't miss
but
something. Okay.
yeah, we could go down the fan rabbit hole here. The writer has said that the episode is actually a representation of his frustration about the fact that Bluey gets censored. So many of his original scripts don't end up on the American television show or internationally. They end up editing a lot of the content and it gets censored because media conglomerates don't like the real raw take that they have, which if you can imagine how real and raw Bluey is, and that's the censored version that we're seeing, the unedited cuts that those writers are writing must be just absolutely heart-wrenching. But
I want to
anyway,
see then. Let's put them out.
Bandit
But
is upset, and throughout the course of the episode, the girls, his kids, learn how to, when you're upset, take your emotions, crumple them up, and throw them away as far away from you as you can get to just let it go. And then at the end of the episode, Bandit does that as well. Eric, please continue as you were saying.
no, and he feels so much better. And it's just like it's just I liked how it showed like most of us will just hold it inside and then we'll ignore the world because I am guilty of it. I am the spokesperson for holding shit inside and ignoring everybody. I don't know, like I really liked the episode and it took a while. It took from last night to up until now for me to like fully appreciate and understand it. And like we teach our kids things, but sometimes our kids can teach us things like because they're learning. Like, hey, this is how you show your emotion. And he's like, you know what? I'm gonna listen to you for once instead of you listening to me.
Totally. Well, and it's really cool because stuff like this, right? Like you and I have 30 plus years of emotional baggage and societal conditioning that is a burden that we're carrying with us that Noah doesn't have, right? Because Noah
No.
hasn't lived those 30 years of being told that he's not allowed to cry or be emotional or be passionate or excited or anything except for happy or angry. Like he's a kid. He gets to be raw and get worked up and get anxious and get sad or all of the other emotions that grown 30-year-olds are not supposed to have. Hey, we're supposed to have them. Have them. It's good. It's healthy. Do it.
Inside Out, waiting for that one, by the way, because I also like that movie. And I think a big part of like these movies, these shows, is because like I see and I understand that like it's a normal thing, and I want to teach my children this, but like I can't teach you what I don't know. And it's hard because like going back to it, like how much is too much? Like Noah loves crying. I don't know if you've ever witnessed his crying. Loves
Oh, I don't
it.
think I have.
Like you tell him no, like because he wants more candy. No, he's gonna cry. You tell him he can't sit there, he's gonna cry. And I'm just like, I understand you need to cry because you're a child, but like there has to be that balance. And like, what is that balance? Like
Yeah, when we talked about emotional regulation a little bit in a past episode too, right? And how it can be really overwhelming when your kid is asking why for the 300th time, or when you won't refill their water and so they throw their body on the floor, right? Like it's really hard to, as somebody with better emotional regulation than a toddler, it can be really overwhelming and really frustrating and be like, "Ugh, why are you like this? Why are you the way you are?" But they're experiencing those feelings. So I mean, I would challenge, there's no such thing as too much, right? The hurdle that you have to tackle as a parent is why is he crying, right? And is this a healthy release of emotions because he's experiencing something, or is he having too much of an emotional response to something? And then, we need to talk about, hey, this is perfectly normal. Like, it's okay to cry, and it's okay for me to not give you more candy, or it's okay for me to not, refill your bubble water for the third time today. Like,
but
there's reasons, and it's okay for you to be sad about that, but you don't need to, this isn't the end of the world. Tomorrow's still gonna come. Like, and kind of find that middle, have that happy middle ground of what is a healthy expression of emotion, and what is, they're not understanding the situation, so they're crying about it, right?
and see, and I think that's what gets me a lot of the time. I think that's the reason, the wife and I fight a lot is because like children, who do they go to most of the time when they cry? In general here.
Yeah, and typically well, whoever the primary parent is. So for both of us, that's mom.
Yeah, so that sentence is like cries to mom, and I'm like, who am I?
Yeah.
And so then it gets frustrating. Like if I tell you no, you can't have more candy, or you can't have more snacks, or you can't, fill in the blank here, like it's frustrating when it's like mom, mom. And I'm not saying like, and yes, like I have told my wife that because you give them everything they want, I want to put that on record. And I can say that no, she doesn't give them everything they want, but she's definitely nicer about it than I am because it's angry or happy. And right now you're making me angry.
Well, and there's a there's a level of tolerance in just putting up with it, that because and I can speak definitively for my wife, and I can extrapolate and speak for your wife. April and Emily are with our kids all day, right? You and I are working most of the day. They're with the kids. So when I get home and Alana says, she wants bubble water, right? I keep using that as the example, but like, she wants bubbles.
What is bubble water?
I'm like, LaCroix
Oh,
or
okay. I
whatever.
thought so. Some kind of seltzer.
I was gonna say it's seltzer, soda, anything with bubbles. She loves drinks that have bubbles in them right now. So, but like, if she's asking for that, it's the first time that she's asking me for that. So I'm gonna be like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, I'll do it. Whereas, like, if she had asked Emily in that exact same moment, it's probably like the 43rd time that she's asked Emily to do that thing today, because she's a toddler and she asked the same thing over and over and over and over again. And like, moms get worn down, and I don't mean that in a rude way or in a diminutive way at all. but like you're in survival mode at a certain point. So yeah, April gives in more than you do to not drown them in a bathtub. Like, right? Like
I mean, yeah, that's fair. No,
not that she ever would, internet
she would
audience,
not.
but like it's
For
that,
reaching that
it's
snapping point.
that pseudo survival mode where you just say yes before you break because it's not worth fighting about that thing anymore, right? Whereas you and I haven't hit that breaking point, so we're gonna be like, no, you can't have more candy. When April and Emily are like, it's fine, I don't, just stop asking for it and you can have whatever you want.
And so they're checking the dad said no, but mom said yes this one time. It's like all it
Yeah,
takes is one.
it does create patterns for sure. It's funny, Emily actually got to experience she was frustrated last night because she went to take Alana to bed, and I was working on something else, and so she took Alana for bed, and Alana was like, dada bed, dada bed, dada come bed, dada lay down, dada, like the whole time. And so Emily texted me and was like, hey, like, can you step away, can you come do bedtime with us, and then you can go back to doing whatever you're doing. And I was like, sure thing, yeah, absolutely. And they had been like kind of struggling with bed for like half an hour because Alana was just shouting for me, and I came in and Alana was like, dada, and I was like, Lana, and I got in the bed and I like snuggled her, and within like maybe 2 minutes she was out cold, right, just dead out. And she was like, Emily was like, man, that was rough. Like, all she wanted was you. And I was like, hey, one, absolutely, that was rough. I'm sorry that you had to go through that. Two, welcome to literally every day of my life as dad, because it's always, always mama. I am a second-class citizen in this house. It is always mom over dad. So the one time, like, I'm sorry that you're experiencing this because I know exactly how it feels. And aren't you so grateful that this is the like one time that you're experiencing this? And she was like, it's not the first time, it's not the only time, which it's true, but that difference of like sometimes the baby just wants one parent, right?
Man, I wish that happened. I mean, I'd say Ivy is sometimes a daddy's girl. Right now, she's swinging more towards mommy, and I'm like, let's get you back on the right track there, kid. But yeah,
Yeah.
no, I was just trying to be
Well, I think.
fair, like with them, because we talk about I talk about toddler emotions. And I also have teenager emotions to deal with.
It's a whole other like
It's
hormonal, emotional roller coaster.
like it is because again, and because I've been in Lucas's life since he was seven, 6 years at this point. Like he has learned a lot from me. It's either happiness or anger. And being a teenager going through all emotions or all his hormones or all everything else going on, what's the one that comes out the most because your parents are the worst?
It's always
Like
anger.
always anger. He doesn't see it. Like, and I bet you a lot of parents will agree with me. Like, and there's those rare cases that their teenagers are just the perfect kids. And please teach me your ways. Like, what am I doing wrong other than being me? So dealing with, two screaming toddlers who are learning emotions and then a teenager who is also learning emotions, but like learning life at the same time. Like I'm surprised April doesn't have a full head of gray hair at this point. And like I'm surprised I'm not close to that too.
It's funny, I hadn't really considered until you mentioned it, but those are really similar transitional phases, right? Like our toddlers are figuring out, they're learning their emotions because they're doing go undergoing this massive hormonal and mental development shift. Your teenage years are also a massive hormonal shift and mental development change. It's just a different kind. I think the blessing and a curse, right? I think there's a benefit to the teenage side of things because when Lucas is emotional or upset or frustrated or whatever, I can imagine, and again, I don't have a teenager, so I'm probably, or somebody in our audience is going to scream at me over this. It might be you. You can communicate with them at least a little bit more, whereas your toddler doesn't have communication skills. Now, the communication with your teenager might be "fuck you, dad, you don't know what you're talking about," but you can at least have a dialogue there. Whereas a lot of the time, like when Alana's crying, I don't know why, right? I don't know, like, is she teething? Is it growing pains? Is she just sad that mom is gone? Like, what is this? Whereas Lucas can, at least for the most part, tell you, like,
He
I'm
has
pissed because of this.
the capabilities to do that, does he? No.
Well, and maybe that takes us back to the initial point, right? Of let's be that representation for them, right? Because I'm sure, and this isn't accusatory at all, but just knowing you, I'm sure you haven't set the best example of when you're mad, saying why, or when you're sad, explaining why, because men don't communicate about those things, right? I mean, like, that's the stereotype and what we're trying to overcome. Maybe the better you set that example of when you get upset, when you get frustrated, when you get sad, when you get whatever, expressing your emotions and communicating about it positively and proactively, then he'll be more inclined. And admittedly, we're talking about teenagers, right? It's never going to be healthy, good, perfect communication. We're aiming for improvement. We're aiming for best of, right?
Something. And I will say that, like, April and I are long-winded. Believe it or not, like me, the quiet Derek is long-winded when it comes to trying to teach life lessons, especially to Lucas, because, like, I had a stepdad. He was, he was more of a, he brought money in. That's about it. It wasn't a father figure. I just hit my mic over here. So, like, I'm trying to teach the lessons that I was never taught, or that I have experienced multiple times to get, and have failed. But I think at the same time, like, we're trying to teach him this thing, but we're so long-winded that the message gets lost because he's like, oh, mom and dad want to talk to me again. Like, oh, here we go for another 45 minutes to an hour. But, like, I feel like we're doing our best because we want to make sure that all the information is there on the table. Like, and we tell him, communicate, communicate, communicate. We don't know what you're feeling if you don't tell us. And hey, why are you upset? I'm not upset. Like, and it's that look, like, I'm no body language expert, but a furrowed brow usually means you're upset. There is something in your life happening, and we try to open that door for communication. And it's funny that I'm saying this out loud because, like, I do it for Lucas. We do it for Lucas, but not the toddlers. I mean, we ask them, hey, what's wrong? Why are you crying? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. So it's.
Well, and I mean the flip side of that question there is also like I'll bet you to a degree April does that to you, right? When you walk in the door with a grumpy furrowed brow and you're all upset, she's probably like, "Hey, what's up? What's wrong? What's going on?" And you go, "I don't know. It's nothing. Don't worry about it."
Oh, okay,
And
so
again, not accusatory, man. I do it too. I'm as guilty as anybody. Like I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to improve, but it's so easy to just brush off those negative emotions and bottle them up until the bottle breaks and then get a bigger bottle.
but like, so yeah, sometimes I do say things, but sometimes it's just so stupid that, like, I'm not gonna talk to you about it. Like the whole, we'll say the Jeep thing, like, to drive me insane for the past couple of weeks. And so that's on my mind. Like, how can I get rid of this damn Jeep? And so when she's like, what's wrong? I'm saying, the damn Jeep. Like, because I've had the conversation so many times that at this point you understand. Or it's, I'm still trying to process my emotions. And me saying, I'm still trying to process my emotions doesn't sound right coming out of my mouth. So I'm like, nothing.
But see, that's say it. Fucking say, I'm still trying to process my emotions. I'm not quite sure what I'm upset about.
I want to say, like, and she'll correct me, and dear, please correct me when you listen to this. Like, I feel like I do say it sometimes though, like, but not, and obviously not that those words, but
Again, man, I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying like to all of our listeners out there, fucking say the thing. Like, if you're, and I think as guys, and I'm generalizing, right? Because this podcast is for all parents, but it's mostly for dads. As guys, like, we're less inclined to talk about our feelings when we don't fully understand them, right? So like, if I'm still, I know that I'm upset, but I'm still processing my emotions to figure out exactly what I'm upset about, how I'm upset, how much I'm upset, and what I even want the resolution to be for me to be not upset anymore. If I'm still processing that and figuring it out, I don't want to fucking tell somebody that. I don't want to talk to somebody and explain that I'm still working through my emotions, because I'm not supposed to have those. I'm supposed to bottle those up and not have them and not feel them. But just opening up and saying like, hey, like, this is what I'm experiencing right now. I'm still kind of trying to figure out where I'm at with it. Like, my wife is my best friend. If I tell her that, usually she's the one who I can talk through it with, right? I can have the conversation of like, I'm upset about this thing and I don't know what I want the resolution to be. Okay. Would you feel better if this was the result or if this was the result? Do you even want anything to change, or do you just want to validate the fact that this is kind of a shitty situation and then move along? Like, and having her in my life to work through those emotions with is huge. I mean, it's the reason why I'm the person that I am today and not Kyle punching holes in drywall. Like,
and you know, thinking on it, because you said that, like, I think I have done it so much that when I actually ask her for help, I have to then follow up with, no, I'm actually wanting your help. Like, yeah. And it could be something as stupid as, hey, I need a color choice for the wall, or hey, I've got a dilemma. And I couldn't give you an example because, like, as soon as I resolve it, it's done. Or if I just, you know, sweep it under the rug, I forget about it until it comes up at a later time.
Absolutely.
But I'm guilty. And, you know, we actually had a thing today, like, because I've been feeling a certain way lately, huge depressive episode. And I'm like, I don't know, like, I know what's wrong. I don't know how to fix it. And I'm not looking for answers. But like you, I like how you said, like, are you looking for an answer, or are you looking to just validate what you're feeling and what you're saying? Like, and I think that's what I was looking for. Like, hey, I want you to know. But like, it turned into a whole other thing. So when you're listening to this, honey, like, we'll get to that later. But like, I'm still trying to process. And like, bringing it back to our episode, is like, why am I not allowing my children to process emotions, but I'm trying to process them myself? Like, it's hypocritical almost.
Yeah. Well, and again, I mean, to, like you said, take it back to the beginning, right? Our kids are going to replicate what they see, right? So if you're not having those conversations with April, then Noah's not going to have those conversations with you in April. And Ivy's not going to have those conversations with you in April. And Lucas isn't going to have those conversations with you in April. Like, in the same way that if I just, anytime I'm mad and Emily asks what's wrong, I say nothing. Then when Alana is upset about something and I'm like, hey, baby, what's wrong? She's going to go, nothing.
No. Good. Like, I'm just kidding. No.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously when Lucas says nothing, we know it's obviously something. It's when Noah and Ivy say they don't know, then we're like, okay, now we have to figure it out. And obviously I don't have a problem with that. It's how can we tell them, like, hey, it's now okay. You're feeling a certain way for a certain reason. Like, is it because Ivy took a toy? And yeah, sometimes we get the, she took it from me, or what's Ivy's thing? Ivy's speech is like hit or miss, especially when she's upset. Super adorable when she cries, though.
Man, that's the hardest part about having a toddler, right? Is like, they already can't communicate well, and then when they're emotionally overwhelmed, they absolutely, there's zero chance that they're going to be able to effectively communicate well and say, and I mean, I say zero chance. It happens, but more often than not, that emotion is going to overtake the communication center in their brain, and they're not going to be able to clearly communicate, I'm sad because Noah took my toy. It's going to come out,
like, or just more, or harder crying.
Yeah, harder like, crying, right? Like,
but you know, thankfully, Ivy, I'm like, Ivy, like, hold on. And she'll stop. She'll be okay. I'm like, what's wrong? And then, ah, I'm like, oh, well,
Yeah.
I thought I was getting somewhere.
Well, and I mean, again, no criticism here, but like, why don't you have those conversations with Lucas, right? I mean, if you ask what's wrong and he says nothing, like, why not treat that the same way as Noah or Ivy saying, I don't know what's wrong, right? Because that's basically what Noah's telling or what Lucas is telling you at that point, right? Is
I guess it's
I'm
fair.
mad, but I don't know what for.
Yeah, because like you said, like they're similar stages in life, bunch of hormone changes. But it's hard too because we want to teach him to open up at the same time. Like, how can you just let it sit but want to teach that too? Like, because we've said, hey, come to us anytime. Like, if you need just one of us to say, hey, can I talk to you? Let me tell you how many times this ever happened. This many, zero for those who aren't watching this on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, okay. Counterpoint. How many times have you gone to Lucas when you're having a rough day and just said, hey, man, I'm having a bad day and I just want to be mad about it. Can we talk for a little bit?
I don't talk to my wife.
I know. But here's the thing, man. That's what you're expecting him to do, right? You're expecting him to come to you and say, I'm mad about something, but I don't really know what it is. Can we talk through it? How is he going to learn that behavior if not you showing him, right?
Okay, that's a fair point. Like, I do. So
I'm
when we
not,
have,
and hey, I'm not saying it's easy, dude. Like,
no,
that's not my
it's
default
not.
setting either.
It is. It's
Like,
definitely not. And I think that's why whenever we all get into arguments or fights or whatever you want to call it, like, we try to talk through it all the way to the end. And like, hey, and so we say, I'm pissed off because I have told you 600 million times to sweep the floor this way and not this way. Like, obviously, random fucking example here. Like, hey, this is why I'm mad. So why are you mad now? Like, obviously, the conversation doesn't go like a poorly written screenplay,
hey man, sometimes it
but
does, and that's the best way to get through it. Like,
the script. I am upset. Now
yeah.
your turn.
Well,
But it's. I think it's just awkward to talk about it. So like it'd be even more, like I said, I don't talk through things with my wife a lot of the times. I process it myself. I'm like, cool, I found a solution. I'm gonna go do that. So like having a con like you and I wouldn't have a deep conversation. I've known you for just about as long as I've known him.
I mean, we could, man. I'm open to
So
it.
like,
Like,
okay, so to be fair.
the only reason why we wouldn't is because society has told both of us that it's not okay for us to talk to each other and be genuine humans with each other.
I mean, to be fair, like I did open up to you on New Year's after, my guard was down and I had a fuck ton to drink. Actually, I did not have a fuck ton to drink. I just had really strong drinks to drink.
You had me bartending for you, which means you were, let's say the lid of the jar was loosened.
And so like but sober Derek wouldn't have that conversation with you, and we've been friends for a long time, and we have talked about all kinds of fucking different things. Like, so it's especially difficult to talk to a child. Like, yeah, that is my child, but still difficult to talk to a child through these emotions, especially if he had nothing to do with it. Like, if I was just having a bad day, like, hey, Lucas, I'm gonna talk to you about my day, like. Because I know he's not going to listen. He don't care. He's going to stare at his Xbox or be like, man, like,
I
clock's a
mean, and
ticking.
build that relationship, right? I mean, like, and not to say that you don't have a good relationship with Lucas. Let me take a step back. Like,
I get where you're coming from, but for
I,
clarification for anybody listening.
yeah. Like, I don't know, man. One of the most frustrating things in the world for me is that, that my dad and I don't talk more about emotional stuff, right? Like, I know definitively without a doubt, I know that my dad has been going through some stuff emotionally over the last 6 months or so. But he hasn't talked to me about it. I know that it's going on because I see that furrowed brow and I see him being upset and I see what's going on behind his eyes. But he hasn't come to me and said, like, this is what's going on in my life and I'm mad about it. And so I've been trying to kind of change that dynamic. And like, if I'm just having a shitty day, I'll just call my dad and tell him, like, hey, not having a good day. Do you want to talk for a bit? Or like, do you want to grab a beer? Do you want to whatever? Which is partially because, man, it feels good to have somebody to talk to. It feels so nice to have somebody to be able to open up and share those things with. And also, because I know how good that feels, I want him to be able to open up to me. I want him to be able to take solace in me and say, hey, son, I'm pissed. Hey, I had this going on, right? And like, it's challenging. It's really tough.
But so,
But you
I mean,
build that pathway one conversation at a time.
yes, and you're not wrong. But he is also the generation that raised us, who I obviously know what your intentions are, but because he was raised by his father to be the way he is, and he raised you because that's what he learned from his father. Do you think it's ever going to happen though? Because like to him in his mind, is it going to be like, why am I going to talk to my child about what's going on? I don't know your dynamic. So it's just more of an open general question here. Like,
Oh, for sure. I think that being a cycle breaker is always hard, right? Like we've talked about that in multiple
yeah.
aspects on this show, and I think that emotions is one of the big ones. Like I was raised by my father, who was raised by my grandfather, who was raised by his father, like, and all of them have just been men don't cry, men don't talk about their emotions, lock it down, bottle it up until the bottle breaks and get a bigger bottle. Like, I am choosing to say fuck that noise and walk away from that and live a different life. I might have to drag my dad kicking and screaming into that life, but like you said, you can learn from Noah, right? Because he doesn't have that, you know, we talked about like Noah doesn't have the 30 years of societal and gender bias that you and I have. In that same way, I only have half of the societal pressure that my dad has weighing on him. He can learn from me. We just have to figure out a way to communicate and open that door, right?
And to be fair, like I want to play devil's advocate here. Like, have you ever just asked him, Dad, I know something's going on. Let's talk about it. Or do
Yeah,
you want to talk about it?
totally. And honestly, I mean, that's the way a lot of this stuff starts. You know, just like I said, you going to talk to Lucas and just saying, hey, son, I'm having a shitty day. Sometimes I'll just go to my dad and say, hey, like, seems like you were pretty pissed at our family dinner. What's going on? Like, what are your feelings on this? What, like, I said this thing that seemed to be upsetting to you. Do you want to talk about that more? And opening those doors is uncomfortable, right? It's not,
Yeah.
and that's I think that's why it's so hard, is because we're used to shutting those things down. We're used to closing off those emotions. And so opening up that door is uncomfortable for both parties, right? Because I'm stepping outside of my comfort zone and talking about my feelings, and you or my dad or whoever I'm talking to is uncomfortable because another dude is telling them about their feelings, right? Like it's challenging, but it's also necessary for growth on both of our parts.
Yeah, and what's that? There's a saying like, I'm gonna have to look it up, but like, pretty much where you need to get out of your own box, your own bubble, your own circle, because like, growth happens outside of your comfort zone, like,
Yeah.
and so the yeah the and because I'm one to like, I stay in my house because I like my house, like this is my box. I'm never going to accomplish anything staying in my box. So like maybe have a sit down with him. I don't know. Like I can't promise I'm going to anytime soon, but like maybe I do. I mean, you know, next week it's me and the kids. So maybe I
Yeah.
can give it a shot then at the dinner table.
Yeah, man. Well, and like you're presented with, for our listeners, April is going out of town next week, so Derek is a pseudo single dad for 1 week.
Yeah, that's I am a I am I am not a that single sounds a bit bad.
Well, you're an only parent for 1 week.
Yes, there we go.
It's the same thing with different words. Anyway, Derek
Mm-hmm.
is going to be watching his kids alone for the next week. I think that presents you with an awesome opportunity because all of those mama, mama, mama calls will go unanswered whether you want them to or not. So, be the emotional rock that April would be for the kids, right? Because I know, hey, April, I know you're listening to this. I know that April is better at talking to kids about their emotions than you are because she
Yeah.
doesn't carry 30 years of emotional male baggage in the United States. And frankly, it's a global problem. It's not just in the US, but that toxic hyper masculinity of not being able to be anything but happy or angry, just throw that out the window and talk to the kids rawly and transparently.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
This
We'll have to shoot an episode at the
we'll call this episode before.
end
And when you
of
guys see the next episode, we'll call that after.
week. It'll be interesting. Oh man, it'll be a good one. And we make these jokes, but like, I should be fully capable of taking care of my three children without the help of my wife. Like, I know I am. I know I am. For those who are listening, like, wow, this guy's like scary for the kids. But it's
No, man, I
it's
think.
not having that nurturer
Well, and also
in the
just
house.
two is almost always better than one, man. Like, no offense to the single dads or single parents out there, but like a support network is huge, and you have a built-in support network in your wife who is the primary parent for those kids. So when she's gone, that creates a, you're taking down a wall out of the house that you've built. It gets rough. I know definitively that I would be able to raise Alana as a single dad if I had to, but God's willing, I never will have to because Emily is such a better parent than I am and is also a rock for me and for Alana to make both of us better, you know?
Yeah, see that's my wife too. Like, I couldn't do this without her. I don't know how the fuck she does it, like, with these kids every single day, 24/7. Like, she is definitely a better person than I. I don't tell her enough. So if you get this far in the episode, honey, just know that I do feel this way.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for spending your time with us and for listening to Derek and I ramble about how bad we are at talking about emotions. We really appreciate every single one of our listeners. And if you have the time, our social links are down below. Like this video, like this podcast, share it, subscribe so that you get future downloads if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever your podcatcher of choice is. Those download numbers really do help us out, and help push us out so that other people can find this show and can listen to us, admit that we're terrible people and don't know how to express our emotions. But we're really trying to grow this show into something that can help more and more dads be the best parents that they can be. And to be clear, the best parents are not Derek and I. They're our wives.
That's right.
But we're doing our best to be supportive and to be caring and to be loving. And hopefully we can help a couple of dads out there find that thing that they're missing and find that answer. And maybe you can too, right? Maybe you know better than we do how to talk about emotions. Please comment down below, email us at proudofyoudads@gmail.com. We're always open to submissions and we love to hear from you guys.
Or any social media, because we did have a comment that came through. What I don't know how you got it, but like, just anyway, that message you sent me.
Our Instagram, Proud of You Dads or I think it's at Proud of You Dads on Instagram. Message us there, direct message us, any social media. Like I said, all the links are down below. Just let us know what you're struggling with and what you're doing well and what we're doing well and what you think that we might do better based off of these rants on how our lives are going with our kids. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We really appreciate it, and we'll be back again next week. Until then, I'm Andrew Goody,
And I'm Derek Mata.
and we are proud of you.